Welcome to Eat This Scroll, a University Fellowship Church podcast. My name is Chris Moore, and I am happy to be with you this morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you're at right now. We get together twice a week to share with you what we've been chewing on God's Word, give you a peek behind the curtain on the ongoings of the church and its staff, and hopefully leave you encouraged and edified as a result of this. Now, today, listener, is a precious moment.
Oh, it's a milestone.
It is a milestone, monolithic. We have with us our faithful and fearless leader, never to be caught in anyone's shadow, Brett Gilchrist.
Wow. No, the milestone, Chris, is not my appearance, but your 200th podcast. That's
true. It
is astounding.
Yeah.
When did you start this?
I probably should.
Simple question like that.
Yeah.
You can't answer it.
I think
just make up a number.
Yeah. Even. 2 years. We've been doing it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Cause we started in the closet.
Yep.
Which was my office.
It had a window despite what you've said numerous times.
We started in there. It was echoey. We did the best we could. I put the honeycomb like things on the walls. Yeah. Even at one point.
And now just to make sure the listener knows, Chris is in a large, spacious corner office.
It is a palace.
And my office next to his is not corner and has a door that goes into the women's ministry storage closet. So Chris actually got the best real estate out of the deal, just so we're clear on that.
Brad has an escape route if he needs it, gets that entrance out of there. On this,
the green thumb up.
Uh-huh. And I said, this is about gardening. You're like, okay, whatever, Chris. And it's been a wonderful experience. We've had consistent listeners throughout, and I've had people come up and talk to me about the podcast. They've been encouraged by it. And I mention this because your absence on this show doesn't explicitly connote a lack of support, because somebody, and I assume it was you, maybe put them up to buying me that trophy for the 200th episode. Was that your doing?
It was a team effort.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we had a quick retreat this weekend over the beach, and, at dinner on Monday night, we presented Chris with a golden microphone trophy engraved with, the indication that he's doing his 200th podcast. And I think there was an overwhelming groundswell of support for me being the 200th podcast.
There was.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, for those of you that listen to the podcast, you know that this is maybe my third or fourth time total.
Not a lot. Yeah.
Not a lot. And it's not that I don't support it. It's, I think it's just the way I'm wired, and maybe my generation. I'm like, people have to endure me every Sunday. They got to read my stupid emails on a regular basis. I feel like there's enough Brett already. So a podcast feels a little self-serving for more Brett. So that's part of it. I think generationally too, I don't know, maybe this is me with my ongoing imposter syndrome. I don't know, like half the time I have something worth saying, you know,
So it's a real feeling.
Yeah. So it's a real feeling. So I'll let everybody else say what's not worth saying. Or no, excuse me.
Yeah.
that didn't come out right.
Well, I would like to say that this would be a good platform for you to be unscripted, but you're kind of unscripted everywhere you go. Brett is the Brett that you see all the time.
Yeah. I guess that's good. I do have sermon notes. I on occasion refer to them.
Yeah. Stick to them. Yeah.
But what I hear through the social media grapevine is that my wife's podcast is in the top 10, if not near the top.
That's true. It is number 2. You did Kingdom Legacy, which was a parenting series. And that was a unique time for the podcast, because it was a time where the podcast and the sermons synced up.
That one time.
And we got to support the same thing. And we got to have the whole Gil clan on, including your two sons and your daughter via Zoom.
Oh, really?
Simultaneously.
Yeah.
It was a wild ride. The technological loopholes I had to jump through.
So you say Ferris's standalone on the purpose of parenting is number 2.
Number 2.
Why is that, Chris?
You're going to make me say it.
Yeah. It's because, well, let me say it. It's because Jamie, who holds the number one spot,
yep,
leveraged all of women's ministries
she did
into hearing her podcast.
Her episode.
And pushed Ferris off the podium. Is that a fair thing to say?
That's a fair estimation on what happened.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know this would be such a drama-filled episode. Yeah, it was a ton of fun having her on. I remember being able to talk parenting, and you know, I've got three kids, and you've successfully raised three. So being
she's
able to
successfully raised three, but go ahead.
In spite of your efforts, yeah. That's how I feel about my own kids. And so it was really neat to be able to have them on, and then to hear the fruits of your parenting philosophies and kind of biblical structure, you know, come to fruition in their lives. And now they've got kids, your grandkids, and they're employing a lot of those same things. Yep. So.
Yeah, it's a blessing for sure.
Those are super cool episodes to do. I really enjoyed it. And one of the things we talked about, a possible topic of exploration for this 200th episode, is the last year for us as a church has been historic. I mean, in a lot of ways, we came together, we joined up with EBF, Emerald Bible Fellowship, and through that we got a body of believers that were faithful here, a building that was the first time for UFC. And so I thought it'd be worth sharing, like, what has that year looked like? And maybe take a peek at, as a church, where we want to go or where we're going.
Oh, tricking me into some vision.
Get a mission statement out of you as well. And
I'll stall until we're out of time. So probably most everybody by now knows the story, but I'd been asked hundreds of times over the course of the 14 prior years, hey, Brett, do you want to buy a building or build a building? And my answer was always no. I had done that once before, and I enjoyed the process, and I value buildings, but I liked the culture of a church that met in a public gym, quite frankly. And so I'd always say, sort of tongue-in-cheek, God would have to drop one in my lap, you know?
Yep.
And then, of course, that fateful day and at lunch with Rich Carroll, and he said, I'm here to drop a building in your lap. And I guess at the time, I didn't know how weary our church was. We had been, 8 moves in 7 different locations trying to maintain a physical presence and keep church doors open during that silly season of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So when we moved into this building, well, 2 things. One, I think it was a great rest for us. It was like, okay, we finally have a place to call our own. And secondly, it was a fun and new challenge for me. I am not what you would call, here's the vision for the next hill, let's go take it. I'm a pretty good hill taker when the hill presents itself.
Yeah.
And so, the hill in this case was, how do you merge 2 churches in a way that's glorifying to God and faithful to the people that have served this particular location for so long? So for me, it was a really fun challenge, and, I think the outcome has been, I don't know what adjective to use. I was going to say spectacular, but that sounds a little off-putting. It's really been rich because the majority, I mean, like 98% of those that called EBF their home remained,
mm-hmm.
and they have acclimated to our way of doing church and our approach to ministry so well. And I think our people, and when I say our, I mean the prior UFC people, moved in with a sense of graciousness as well. And it's just been a huge blessing to me personally. I know to our team,
mm-hmm.
We really like the ability to have a space to call our own and schedule things for use and all that kind of stuff. So, and I think the story doesn't get old, even around the community. Often I run into people and they ask me what I do, and I tell them, and they're like, well, where's your church? And so I retell this story time and time again because it's a God thing in the sense that, you know, who does that really? What 2 groups of dissimilar people in the world's eyes come together and share resources and vision and do it so well? So it actually has been an opportunity for me to, you know, present God's work in a new and fresh way, which has been fun too.
Yeah. We're much more prone as a culture to anticipate church splits, right, and schisms and infighting. So it really has been a unique story that, yep, that God has given us. Mm-hmm. You had talked about one of the things you valued is being that kind of rugged church that was on the move, that was resilient in those things. But then acknowledge that they also were kind of weary from that when we finally stopped and settled. What are some ways that you saw you want to maintain that as a culture moving forward, and maybe some of the challenges that we face having settled down that might be produced from that?
Yeah. And these are small things, and I, you know, they're maybe my issues too, to boot, but I don't want us to be a church that argues over carpet and paint colors and can you take cookies in that room or not? Mm-hmm. You know, I get those are real issues for some people, and but I don't want the physical assets of a building to dictate the spiritual course of a church. And I think it's hard to not do that at some level, to become more invested and involved in the trappings of a building as opposed to the ministry that God has called us to do. So, basically not opening up for general discussion and committees. And, but, you know, we've found a couple of people in the church that we think their taste matches where we're trying to go, and just have said, as you make some changes, keep these things in mind. So that's a small thing, but mm-hmm, it's sort of not at the same time.
Can become big.
It can become a real big thing.
Yeah.
I think we've tried to have the same kind of spirit of generosity that was shown to us. So if people ask for our building, we allow it to be used quite freely. We don't charge for it most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's not a huge building, and we do have a lot going on. So there's, like, even today we had to say no to a very good request, but it just didn't really fit our schedule well. Mm-hmm. So I think being generous in that regard. Here's some breaking news.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't even know if I should do this.
I got a soundboard to hit, like some sound button.
So the elders, a number of months ago, you know, when we switched to two services, and then two services began to grow, and somebody told me just last week, you know, bodies in the auditorium, and that's how I like to refer to it, just bodies in the auditorium. Just
nameless numbers.
I think we averaged 770 or something last year over the course of the year.
Okay.
So with 500 seats in the room, we're, you know, it's starting to feel a little full in both services. So all that to say, we looked into, can you expand the room? And technically we maybe could, but it runs into lots of problems and doesn't solve the problem of trying to get back to one service. Mm-hmm. I'm a guy that likes the whole family to sit at the same dinner table if we can, but that, I think that ship has sailed. So all that to say, I don't think we're going to expand the seating capacity in the building. We probably are going to invest some money and finish paving the parking lot. That's under consideration right now. But then to think through, okay, how do we continue to minister in the community? How do we remain generous? Which I think this gives us an opportunity to say that some of the money that we've saved up over the years, if we're not going to use it to build a building bigger, what will we do with it? So that's somewhere on the horizon as well. And then, you know, I guess as much as I would hate to, you know, if someday we had to go to three services, that's a good problem and we could do that. But that's way down the road. Why am
sure
I talking about that?
No promises were made here. This is that's not legally exactly binding.
Right. And so the flash news was, is we did look into expanding the building and we've chosen not to do that.
And that's good because sometimes people can naturally be prone to wonder and begin to feel the growing pains and go, isn't anyone doing anything about this or thinking about it? We are.
Yeah.
And we're trying to be really thoughtful. And I mean, I remember the staff meeting, we discussed that and just, you know, the challenges to the benefits and try to use wisdom.
Yeah. And just so for the listener to know, the elders surfaced the idea. I brought the idea without a recommendation to the pastoral staff. And as we spent a couple hours talking about it, I think there was a fairly unanimous conclusion that's not the right thing to do. So again, there's a nice sense of unity between elder leadership and pastoral leadership. And I've always appreciated that about it at UFC.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting meeting. Just see everyone go, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the right choice for us. So that was really encouraging. In terms of culture, just one more time to revisit that. One of the things that I really enjoyed seeing when we were at the gym, because I was there all of a month, I think. A couple months attending and then on staff a month.
It was actually your kids that brought COVID, I believe.
if the Spanish flu comes back, it'll be my kids that got it. We were always sick. Was that sense of buy-in? Because teams had to show up, set everything up, seats, tarps. I remember there were several setup teams that were run by people and that kind of thing. How do you see that same culture existing and continue to thrive here, where maybe there aren't as many rigorous ways to serve?
Yeah, that's a great question and a big challenge, because there aren't as many ways to serve, for sure. I would say this about those teams. They were really self-perpetuating. The setup and teardown was a lot of work, but it wasn't work I had to do. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even work I had to lead. And so I really appreciated that behind the scenes, all that was scheduled and done and taken care of, which allowed me to come on a Sunday morning and go to the prayer meeting, which I've made my habit since day one.
Yeah.
And so when COVID came, I think it was a big breath of fresh air or a relief for those teams. And I think reforming them would have been a real challenge. Mm-hmm. Because, well, for one, a number of the people that led those teams moved on to other churches, or, you know, COVID happened, and it happened to all churches. I think we sustained it better than most, but mm-hmm. a lot of people that were part of UFC pre-COVID are not now. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening, you know who you are.
And we know who you are.
We know who you are. I know who you are. And I don't know why you're not here. So I think reforming those teams would have been tough. Mm-hmm. To answer the second half of the question, I think in a perfect world, and this is always hard to do, would be to refocus a lot of that energy from manual to spiritual. Not that it's not spiritual
yeah.
in the beginning, but to say, okay, how can we engage you in ministry with people in the community or in the church differently? And, you know, we hired Jarrell right as COVID broke out, and I think he's got a big job to try to figure out how to engage more, especially men in the church, in gospel ministry. But I like his approach in that he's not a program starter. He's sort of a grassroots leader. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll eventually get there. And nothing happens quick in churches, and especially those kinds of things take time to develop, you know. And we're a nimble church compared to most, because mm-hmm. Our elders give us a lot of freedom to make day-to-day decisions to begin with. And then secondly, we don't process decisions hard. We think them through and go, yep, let's do that. And everybody jumps on board and moves forward. So it's, you know, I sound like I'm promoting my church. I guess I am. But I think UFC's leadership culture and the can do, let's jump in and get it done, let's not debate this forever, how did I get on that? But anyway, I think that's a real blessing to yeah. me personally. And I think it over time will begin to develop and show itself in meaningful ways to serve.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cause those things were really practical needs, but our, like you acknowledged, our needs have shifted and changed. And yet as members of the body of Christ, we still show up. We yep. still are called to serve and be a functioning member. So, well, is there anything for the 200th episode, and probably the last one you'll be on it for the next 100 episodes.
Is that a desire or a prediction?
No, I was hounding you. I had weeks and weeks. Anything you want to share with our people before we sign off for episode 200?
Boy, well, I know you're not looking for this, but Chris, I appreciate your tenacity, because you have stuck with this and done a good job. And not with my... Oh, let me back up on this. I'm supportive, but I'm not involved. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I yeah. know that makes a different dynamic for you. And I think it's one of those things where I just have to say, you know what? I don't get it. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts myself. I'm just like, don't do that. So recognizing that it's a valuable thing for the church and the culture around us, I appreciate you having done it for 200 podcasts. And I guess those that listen, I'm glad that you honor the hard work that Chris and the rest of the team puts in listening, and hopefully you're continuing to be encouraged and fed by it. So thanks.
Thank you, Brett. Well, listener, I know how faithful you are to my voice, which is why we're leading a secret coup that Brett doesn't know about. Now, I appreciate you listening. I know that for me, it's encouraging me to get the big cheese in here and to share insight from his perspectives in the last year. And you've been able to get that from us every week on what we're chewing on. So I know that you'll be encouraged by that. And I will get you on the next episode.
And just to be eminently clear on this, the big cheese was an assigned name to me.
He makes us call him it.
And it's one of mockery. It is not one of respect. So I did not require my co-laborers to call me the big cheese. With this, we end.
Alpha Eagle One, he makes us call. All right, listen, we'll get you on the next episode. Bye. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you to our guests for coming and sharing what they've been chewing on in God's Word. We produce these podcasts and release them twice a week, so please subscribe so you don't miss out on one. And don't forget, love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples.